Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so Ross with us. By the way, with all this Eagles consternation and frustration, I'm going to try to make people feel a little better here in the next couple of minutes as it relates to our Fightin' Phils. We're going to be in October in 2 weeks. We'll get to that shortly. Tom in Abington right now. Yo, Tom.
Yo, gang. How are we doing this morning?
Hi, Tom.
What's up, Tom?
Doing great.
Hey, before I get into the birds, quick question, Joe. What's a bigger kryptonite for you, chocolate or cantaloupe?
Well, first off, let me just say I've completely...
James loved that one.
Yeah, he did.
The cantaloupe jokes just work every time for
me. I've completely cheated on not eating chocolate.
How long did it last?
Like a week.
It lasted about 2 weeks. Last night, I ordered a sundae. Delivered to Amy from Villanova's house.
Oh my God.
Why?
Because
this was you holding
it's
out.
Chocolate, caramel, vanilla ice cream.
Hold on a second. Where
Oreo
did you order
bits.
It from?
Well, I'm not supposed to give out free advertising. A place.
Okay, but here's
a place
my question.
Villanova or in Villanova.
But how do you do that? Wasn't it
like
already melted by the time it got to your house?
No, it was a little less than you'd want, but it was totally fine.
So you cheated with the chocolate. Did you cheat with the cantaloupe?
It would only be cheating with the cantaloupe if I had promised that I wouldn't. No, I never did that, Tom. For those that don't know, I had a roommate that had an inappropriate relationship with a cantaloupe. It was not me.
As one does.
It was my roommate.
Joe says it was multiple.
An American Pie situation?
Correct.
Yes.
And Ross, you ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm not making this up. My junior year of college.
Roommate.
He heated it up in the microwave in advance.
Quote,
ew.
Roommate.
Why?
He wanted it warm.
Too many details for this to be your friend.
All right.
That is so
disgusting. Wait a minute. Also, I'm just very concerned. Like,
I'm concerned too.
Cantaloupes are very sticky.
Listen, I'm moving on.
Here we go.
Tom, give me a sports point.
So the Eagles. Yes, the Eagles. So I told you guys in the beginning of the year the winning combination would be for Nish Chiriani to stay out of the way and let the coordinators cook. I blame Nish on this loss. Is he aggressive or is he conservative? What is he?
Terrible, man.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying. with his fourth down approach earlier with the Eagles ending up with 0 points on that drive. It's just like if you're going to do that, then stick with it the entire game because then later they settled for a field goal.
So I don't agree. I don't agree with, you're factually right, that's what happened, but all right, Tom, appreciate the call. So I disagree with the concept that he's got to be one thing or the other. First off, circumstances are different. Time, score.
Situation. Team you're playing, as you just mentioned.
Right.
The defense you're facing, all these things.
Factor everything in.
Yeah, I will
factor it all.
I will say this, and this goes
Nish
for...
Nish is funny, though,
it is
by
funny.
The way.
This goes for Sirianni, goes for Doug, goes for the Eagles organization. They are... In recent years, more aggressive than most teams. Now, a lot of teams have caught up to what the Eagles did. I mean, Collinsworth was blown away in the Super Bowl. They're going for it, fourth and goal. Why not kick the field goal? And we all knew. We had seen that team that year. We knew Doug was going to go for it. And we also know, looking back, it was the wise decision, not just because it was converted. I mean, it's you get 7 points for a yard. You get 3 points for a field goal.
The only
try to get
and you're playing Tom only, Brady. Yeah, that was part of it.
Who scored 33?
Exactly.
The situational thing with Monday night was the only chance the Atlanta Falcons had to win was to get the ball back when they did.
I disagree.
And that's why it made it.
Score a touchdown.
My opinion.
No. But here's what I'll say. If the Eagles run it on third down, let's say they run it down to a minute, kick a field goal. You're up six. Now I know your theory. You could go for it on fourth.
Yeah.
Which you could have.
Yeah.
Okay, but you also could,
they're going to get the ball back under a minute, and they're going to be on what, the 5 yard line?
About 55 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, it depends on whether the Eagles kick it in the end zone or not. I mean, some of these teams kick it in the end zone when they don't have to. I don't understand why that happens, but okay. So, meaning when there's limited time on the clock. There is a chance that the other team's going to get the ball on the 30 yard line with 55 seconds to go, down six. You can still lose that game.
I'm just telling you, the Atlanta Falcons were thrilled that the Eagles threw it there and kicked the
ball.
Well,
I'll say this.
Saquon catches it, they're not thrilled because they lose the game.
They weren't thrilled while the ball was in the air to an open Saquon.
Oh, sure.
They were thrilled when he dropped it.
They were thrilled when he dropped it because of the time they had left to go on the field.
But I get that. But if he catches the ball, the game's over. All right. So, like I said, consternation on the Eagles. So, here's something that you may know, you may not know. And we should never take this for granted, okay? Tonight, the Phillies can make the playoffs. Let's just take a moment, like, take it in. Guys, how many years from 2012, well, we could add up the years. I'm asking that question. So I guess that would be rhetorical, right?
Yes.
How many years? How many games? How many boring days from 2012 through September, I think it was actually October 3rd of 2022 when they clinched, but whatever. The point is, it was brutal for a decade. And by the way, that's not like the only decade it's been brutal with no Phils. Now, tonight...
It's been a lot more brutal than not in our lifetime, is a good way to put it.
They still have the most losses in the history of North American sports.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they still had a stretch of 32 years about 100 years ago when they were below 500, 31 out of 32 years.
I saw one playoff appearance in my first 26 years of life. Like, you're a little less than that.
All right, so here's my point. Enjoy it tonight. It's probably not going to be a massive celebration, and it shouldn't be. Rob Thompson said yesterday they'll do a little something tonight if they get there, but they're really going to more wait for the, you know, popping the champagne and really going nuts or whatever form of nuts they choose to go, you know, once they win the division, which clearly they will. But here's what it requires tonight to get to the playoffs: a Phillies win or a Braves loss. That's it. And unfortunately, the Braves play first. So there's a chance the Braves play an hour earlier. There's a chance the Braves lose, and then, like, the Phillies find out in the sixth inning they've made the playoffs. That would kind of be, that would be a bummer. But just for, I want to just give people a taste. When you make the playoffs, don't take it for granted. Like, how about, and this was 10 years in the making when they did this in 93.
Ground ball, it's fair ball. Kruk to Paul. The Phillies are the 93 National League Eastern Division champions. This wonderful band of throwback players has won the National League East.
Just a tremendous moment. How about in 07 when it had been 14 years and they broke through to make the postseason?
Myers has the sign from Briscoe. Curveball struck him out. The Phillies are National League East champions. Look at the scene on the field. Look at the scene on the stands. This is incredible. The Phillies are National League East champions.
How about in 2022 when they made it for the first time in 11 years?
And here it is. Swung on, popped up, shallow center, coming on Marsh on the run. And the Phillies, for the first time in 11 years, will head back to the postseason.
What's my point? Twofold. One, enjoy it tonight. Two, never take it for granted. Because we could have played highlights of silence that would signify the years they didn't make the postseason. I mean, how many times did Harry and Richie call bad teams? How many times did Scott Fransky and Tom McCarthy have called
about
bad teams?
About 10, 11 years.
Right? I mean, it was brutal. So they got a shot for three in a row. They're going to obviously do it. Whether it's tonight or tomorrow, it's going to happen. And hey, here's really what I'm driving at. As down as we feel about the Eagles, and hopefully they can turn this thing around, in 2 weeks, the Phillies are in the playoffs, and we here at WIP, not only carrying the games, we will be all over it.
And
we got a shot, ladies and gentlemen. We got a shot in a month and a half. We got a real shot for a parade. So as bad as we feel about the Eagles, don't lose sight of that. All right. 215-592-9494.
It will lift us. This team is going to...
Well, unless they don't.
...plan to... We
91
be
points
so
in the first two games. I am like... petrified that they're going to get run over.
Wait, which team? The Phillies?
We were talking about the Phillies.
Oh, sorry, the Phillies.
So look, the Eagles mode.
Yeah. How great though that you get, you know, Wheeler. Hey, Zach, here's the ball. Go do your thing. First game of October. He's an incredible pitcher. He proved it again last night. All right, let's go to the phones. Ross Tucker with us, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Zach right now. Hi, Zach.
Was the cantaloupe ripe?
All right. All right. Let me just say this.
Why did you ever tell that story?
Because it was a roommate and I thought it was funny. Now people misconstrue. Here's my response to you, Zach.
You should keep your mouth shut.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Go ahead, Zach.
So before I get into my point, I just wanted to thank you guys for the Green Day tickets. My brother and I went. It was easily one of the best concerts that we'd ever been to. I just wanted to thank you guys for that opportunity.
That's awesome, nice, Zach.
Man. They're a great band.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Joe, I'm going to kind of lay into you a little more here. I know your eyes are set on Howie Rosen being the reason, and I agree. Bryce Huff was a terrible decision. I think we all had to kind of convince ourselves that it was a good idea, but we all kind of felt, not great. But we celebrated Nolan Smith. We celebrated Jordan Davis getting picked up. I put this squarely on the players right now. It's early in the season to blame Howie, but right now the players just aren't playing.
Well, listen, it's a tough one to figure out who's more to blame. I will agree with you that we were more excited when Nolan Smith was picked than Jordan Davis because he felt like a bonus as a player that was supposed to go earlier and got taken at 31 or 32. I guess it was 31.
Zach, the players just aren't playing. Like, that's just not acceptable either. You know, like, I've given a lot of flexibility to our quarterback and to everyone else, you know, saying, hey, they need to be coached better. And it really does matter the way they're coached. They need to be guided properly. But at this point, if they're not doing it as a defender, like, what else do they need to be, like, instructed in? Like, Monday night, watching our defense flounder against the run, that had nothing to do with anything schematic. That was all toughness and want to. Like, that's the way I felt. Like, why are our linebackers not fighting harder than they are?
So I add one more thing to that, John. You may disagree, but this is what I keep coming back to, particularly with Nolan Smith and Bryce Huff. They just might not be good enough. Marcus Smith wasn't good enough. Danny Watkins wasn't good enough. Some guys, Joe, they're not good.
Joe, can I chime in on a couple
of things?
Sure,
Ross, go ahead.
One is, and it hasn't been talked about enough, okay, we all loved what Zach Bond did against the Packers,
yep,
right?
Yep.
If you go back and watch the tape against the Falcons, they cut him down to the ground at least five times. And so when you saw those huge holes for Bijan Robinson, it's because Lindstrom, the right guard for the Falcons, was cutting Bond down like a tree. And here's the thing. This is one of the issues. If you have a guy playing off the ball inside linebacker who's never done it before. He looked like a guy that's never taken on a cut block.
Yeah.
And he got cut down over, like, it was a highlight tape for their right guard. So that's a huge reason why. So everybody's killing the D-line, and I get it. But Bond's inexperience taking on cut blocks was a gigantic factor in the run defense. And then one other thing. Because I keep hearing everybody talk about Huff, Huff, Huff. The Nolan Smith thing is concerning. We'll see whether or not he's a productive NFL player. We don't have to guess about Huff. They don't give out sacks like the ones he got last year from the Jets. Go back and watch his double-digit sacks last year from the Jets. They are impressive. The Jets were upset that they lost him, which is why they traded for Reddick, which has been a disaster. Bryce Huff is a proven pass rusher at this level. He played terrible against the run, against the Falcons, and he has shown zero pass rush whatsoever at this point. So I think it's incumbent upon the Eagles to, at this point, what I would do, I would only put him out there in obvious passing situations like the Jets did last year and say, okay, forget all the stuff. We're trying to make you an every down player. Forget all that. We're putting you in on second and third and long and just do what you did for the Jets. Because everybody keeps saying, I heard Seth say it. I heard you, Joe, say it. The guy can't play. That's inaccurate. He can play. We all saw him play last year. It's why the Eagles gave him that much money.
Look, Russ, I'm not saying your idea is inconceivable and they might not get there soon. But I will tell you this. If he is a situational player, he is incredibly overpaid at $51 million.
Hey, guess what? I'd rather have him situationally getting pressures and hits on the quarterback and sacks than full-time doing nothing.
And, Ross, how often when he gets in there, when he becomes that situational guy, is our opponent just going to run it directly at him?
Well, if it's third and nine, they're not. They're not.
It's third and long, they're not going to, John.
Let me play some audio of Ray. Ray talked to us yesterday about Bryce Huff when Ray was on the show. Here's what Ray Diddy said. Bryce Huff, is he just not good, Ray?
Two games, you don't want to write off that kind of investment after two games. But I was going to say I don't like what I've seen, but the fact is I haven't seen it. I haven't seen anything. That's the scary part. Is that he has been utter? He's been invisible. And the couple times that you did see him, I heard John say a couple minutes ago that that he was getting handled, and he was. There's no other way of describing it. And
we've seen weakness and ineptitude.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really a very good way of describing it, which is really troubling. And what you were seeing last night in the little bit of limited exposure where you could actually kind of see him, where he actually shows up in the frame. Which is hard to believe.
This is awful.
It's bad, guys. It's bad.
Sometimes he's not even in the frame. But, not only was he giving you zero pass rush, which has now been true for two whole games, but on the occasion when he was on the field and they ran the ball, he is either utterly unwilling or utterly incapable of setting an edge.
Look, that's a big problem. All right.
First pitch to Nick is swung on, hit high and deep center field. Mitchell going back into his right. He's at the track. He's pulling up, and that ball is gone. First ball swinging, and Nick Castellanos blasts one over the Brewer bullpen. And it's 1-0 Phillies. Number 21 for Castellanos on the year.
Well, that continues Castellanos' good play lately. As, Phillies took the lead there. Then Bryce Harper helped him take the lead for the final time last night with the because it became a 1-1 game, and then Bryce with the homer, and away they went. So the Phillies today can clinch a playoff spot. Now, you're going to hear this segment from two different Philadelphia coaches. One, Nick Sirianni in 10 minutes with us, and then also shortly what Rob Thompson said after the game yesterday about if, and then if so, how the Phillies will celebrate if they make the playoffs tonight. 215-592-9494. Ross Tucker with us. Ross, let's talk a little bit about Jalen Hurts as well, because, this is one of those scenarios where I think people lose sight of, because he played a good second half, that he did not play a good first half. And I do appreciate when he puts the cape on and does some amazing things, and he clearly did in the second half. But, man, I thought he left a lot of meat on the bone in that football game. What do you make of Jalen in the passing game, and I'll include the two games together, so far this season?
By the way, Joe, I've been thinking about it ever since you guys played it. You blew me away that Kruk and Dalton and those guys only ever made the playoffs one time.
One time.
I had no idea. I mean, I remember the World Series. I went to the NLCS. I didn't realize they only ever made the playoffs one time.
Well, the strike was the next year. Phillies wouldn't have made it anyway. The Expos and the Braves were great. And
the Expos
Phillies
were great, great.
I know they
year,
were.
Yeah.
I know they were. But, yeah, that was one and
I
nine.
Know it was harder back then, but, like, you oh, know, yeah. I was 14, right? So, like, in my mind, there was, like, this great era of Phillies football. And I mean, Phillies baseball, and you just, like, ruined it for
well,
me.
Ross,
they only went 1 year.
Let me give you, you were there for it, Ross.
I guess in my head I thought, okay, they made the playoffs, like, 3 or 4 years. They went to the World Series the 1 year against the Blue Jays.
Check this out. The Phillies had the worst record in the National League the year before. They stunk in 92. Anyway.
Who was new? Who changed?
Can I say a performance enhancer might have played a part?
Oh, God.
And they did have guys with career years. So anyway. All right. Ross, Jalen in the passing game. What do you make of it? By the way, they had great pitching that year. Let me just say this. Schilling and Tommy Green were healthy. They often weren't. and Danny Jackson had come in, and he hadn't been here, and Mulholland was steady for about 5 years, and that was one of them. All right, Jalen in the passing game, what do you mean? What do you make of it?
Yep. So the most one of the most important things for me with a quarterback, especially with a new coordinator, is how quickly they get rid of the ball, because it's usually an indicator of how comfortable they are in the offense, how well they're seeing things. And, man, in training camp, it was like bing, bang, boom with Hurts, and I really felt good about it. And I would say even against the Packers, it felt like he was getting the ball out pretty decently. I don't know if it's just – you know, it's funny. When he has A.J. Brown, it's crazy how often he takes the snap, drops back or whatever – and that ball was out on time. He's throwing it to A.J. Brown. You know, those in cuts, it's a dig, it's a slant. It's almost like A.J. Brown is like his, what do they call it? Like Binky, like the blanket that
security
a kid
blanket.
Has. Yeah, like he just has such trust that he's going to throw. And by the way, a lot of the plays are designed, I think, for A.J. Brown. And so, you know, Hurts knows that's where he's supposed to go with the ball, and then AJ's open and he throws it to him. I was struck the other night by how different it is when AJ's not out there and how much longer Hurts held on to the ball at times and wasn't as comfortable to just let it go. Now, I said this earlier, I'll say it again. In fairness, you know, maybe these other guys weren't open, which, by the way, is another question we haven't brought up yet. I'm trying to understand why Britton Covey got so many targets, including like down near the goal line. You would think that would be more Devontae Smith. You would think it'd be more Devontae Smith or Goddard, who's good down near the goal line, or maybe even Saquon out of the backfield. I'm really intrigued that multiple times they thought a bubble screen to Covey was the best play, or else that's how Hurts read it. They might just have the bubble tagged onto a run. And so he looked out there, and there's three receivers, but only two defenders. Okay, I'm going to throw the bubble. But I don't know. This play's got like 2 or 3 yards. That was one thing
I got. All right, Ross, we got to move fast because Nick Sirianni is going to join us very soon. Can you just give me a quick answer here? Eagles, Saints, who wins on Sunday?
I think the Saints do. Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be hard based on what we've seen from both these teams to pick the Eagles. It'd be a really impressive win. Here's what you're asking. You're asking a team on a short week to go on the road to one of the toughest places to play in the NFL and beat the hottest, most impressive team in the NFL to date. It might happen, and if it does, wow, we will all be singing a different tune, and it'll be super impressive, and it wouldn't put it past them because I still think the Eagles probably overall have a better roster and have better players than the Saints.
How about that, Joe?
But the Saints looked awesome. The first 2 weeks.
All right, Ross, good work, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Ross.
See you guys.
All right, my man. So Nick Sirianni in about 5 minutes here on the show, and obviously we're looking forward to talking to the Eagles head coach on a ton of issues. Also, the Phillies manager, what he said last night about if the Phillies will celebrate when they clinch a playoff spot, if they do today, Rob Thompson, what he said, you'll hear that coming up in 1 minute. Hey, let me tell you about United Tire. You know, they got the latest and greatest deal from United Tire right now. Here's what it is. When you buy any 4 tires at United Tire, you're going to receive a free oil change, a basic 4-wheel alignment to keep those tires wearing correctly. It's a great deal. That's why I tell you all the time, nobody beats United. The team at United Tire, which, by the way, phenomenal at what they do. True experts, great people as well. Greg, the entire group, Billy, awesome people. They care just as much about your car as you do. I mean, obviously, their business, it's all about that. They got to care for your car. That's how they stay successful, and they're very successful because they care for thousands and thousands of cars throughout the Delaware Valley, taking care of customers. So, look, they know the deal, and I think you do as well. Take care of your car, and it will take care of you for a long time and save you a lot of money in the end. That's what it's all about, trying to save money, having a good car that drives well. So, get yourself to UnitedTire.com. There are 10 different locations of United Tire throughout the Delaware Valley. Find the location nearest you at UnitedTire.com. Don't drive alone. And by the way, get one of these great deals at United Tire. Don't drive alone. Drive United. All right, let's listen to Rob Thompson. So obviously, the Phillies hadn't commented on the record about the playoffs much lately. You heard JT a few days ago talk about he's looking forward to it and all that. But, you know, you don't put the cart before the horse. But when you have this big of a lead and the magic number to clinch the playoffs is one, the questions are going to start coming in. They did last night. Rob Thompson addressed, is it an all-out celebration? Is it no celebration? What do you do if you clinch tonight? Here's what the Phil Skipper said.
Do you celebrate tomorrow? What do you guys do?
I think we'll do a little something.
Okay.
But the division is the deal. But we're not there yet. But we're getting close. So, but we'll do a little something because it's an accomplishment getting in the playoffs in this league. It really is. I mean, and it's a. But to me, it's a bigger accomplishment to win this division because there's so many good teams in this division. But it's a huge accomplishment. Not many teams get in.
John, I think it's a reasonable approach.
I think so, too.
Right?
And just like everything else, Joe, I think that the last couple of years have prepared them for this time through it. You know, they have a reasonable approach because they've been here before. And they understand how to do this reasonably.
Yeah. No, I think it's good. I mean, look, you don't go nuts tonight. And by the way, you still got to clinch. Not only, I mean, division is totally something they're going to clinch. But what you really got to get is that one seed. So this is certainly not a night to go get blasted, you know, and have a million drinks because you made the playoffs.
And
I mean,
you feel good about that. And, you know, the one seed right now, the Dodgers, you're two games ahead of them and technically three games with the tiebreaker on top of it.
That's right.
So it's not completely over.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
But you feel confident. You feel good about the fact that, hey, you keep up what you're doing and things will continue and we'll be exactly where we want to be for best case scenario positioning for the postseason.
By the way, the quest for 100 wins, which, you know, in the end doesn't really matter if they win 100 or 98. I mean, as long as they get the one seed, the Phillies need to go 9-2, which, you know, let's be real. They probably won't go. But that's the goal. I mean, if that's what the need is. If you want to get to 100 wins, you got to go 9-2 in the final 11. Let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's truck season in Armin. Available 1.9% financing in all-new 2024 light-duty Armin Silverados. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. Do you think the Eagles will end up as an average team this year? Yes or no? I told you yesterday. I said it again today. I think they're just average. Doesn't mean you can't make the playoffs. You can go 9-8, make the playoffs. Tampa did last year. The Eagles did in 2021. But I do fear, now I'm not certain of it, but I do fear the Eagles are actually just an average team. Agree or disagree? Let's get to Mike right now. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, gang. Boy, does A.J. Brown now deserve the nickname Binky? I kind of like that.
Well, I'll tell you what he deserves. He deserves the moniker of best player on the team. I mean, look, it's either him or Saquon or Lane Johnson. They're the best players on the team, and when you lose one of them, that's a big deal.
Joe, I got to tell you, man, here we are. We could talk about the defense for years, okay, and we can pick it apart. The defense is the defense. My biggest issue is I still am trying to come to grips with how this offense was completely just, it just fell apart without AJ. That's inexplicable to me.
Not to me. Because it would be predicated on Jalen Hurts really being exceptional to be able to, in the passing game, help the offense hum without AJ. You take out the best player on the team and you have a quarterback that's probably only just slightly above average, that's not easy, man.
Joe, and this brings me to my unfortunate point. You're starting to make me see the light a little bit. I'm already off of my 14-3. I mean, I'm already off it. I'm hoping we can go 12-5 at this point, and that's a hope. And I really am starting to see some major problems. Look, I think the problems were always there, but I think some came to light within the last 48 hours, really more the last 24. And I know we have Nick coming
up. Yeah,
we
actually got Nick on the line now, Mike, so let me get to it. But we hear your point, and this is something, obviously, we will continue to discuss. All right, let's discuss the Eagles with the Eagles head coach, Nick Sirianni, of course, a 1-1 squad. Brutal loss, obviously, as we know, on Monday night. And he joins our program typically 2 days after the game. Usually it'll be on Tuesdays, but following the Monday night game, Wednesday this week. And the head coach of the Eagles, Nick Sirianni, right now. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. So, Nick, it's been, I added it up here, 33 hours since that loss. I know you guys got to move on and already have to the Saints. I totally get it. You got a game plan. But how much does Monday night still linger in your mind, not only losing, but losing like that?
Yeah, we have a rule. You don't have much time, especially on a short week, to linger. You have to watch the tape. You have to get better from the tape, and then you got to move on. And so we have the players today, so we'll relook at some of the things to help ourselves all get better from it that we did as coaches, and then we're going to move on. But you have to take that time to fix the mistakes that you made, so you don't repeat them, and try to point out the good things that you did so you continue to do them. That's accountability, and that's what you got to do, and that's kind of our process on a short week.
Nick, let's talk about mistakes or not, as you perceive it. With there's three decisions that you made that have really come under the microscope. I actually thought you got them right. A lot of people think I'm crazy. So I'm just going to group them together. The first quarter going for the 4th-and-4, the fourth quarter, throwing the ball instead of running it when Saquon, could have caught it and dropped it. And the following play to kick a field goal to go up 6 instead of, going for it. We know now, obviously, the team lost. But with those circumstances, do you believe, looking back, you made the right decision or not on those three?
You know, everything that you have to do, like, I don't have to make split-second decisions. I mean, I do within the game, but those are decisions I've made pretty much throughout the week and then throughout, my time as a head coach and time as a offensive coordinator and a position coach. Those are decisions I've been thinking about forever, and I go through a process with that. And so, listen, those are those play out. If you don't convert on fourth down, it's like a turnover. I get it. And so those decisions, when they work, I don't know if anyone really thinks, oh, they got it there, and that's why they went and scored 7 points there. When they don't work, I'm up to scrutiny, and that's my job. That's I completely understand that these are decisions that are going to be scrutinized. On the 4th-and-4 early in the game, it didn't work, and so obviously I have to go back and relook at that. But why do I call a play like, why do we go for it in those scenarios? Well, the first thing I look at is the play. The second thing I look at is, and these are all decisions that you're going into it, the player who the ball's going to potentially. The other thing you look at is your past success in those areas and what's given you confidence to do that in the first place. Those areas, I can think back NFC Championship game, we had a 4th-and-3. Right. And slightly like a little bit in range, and we go for it. And we end up hitting that big pass to Smitty that everybody remembers. And, we end up scoring that mile, scores that drive, in our two wins against Dallas the last 2 years at home. We've had 4th-and-4 and we had a 4th-and-3 that we went for it there that converted into 7 points. So you have past experience that's in your mind as well. Hey, it didn't work in that particular case. And I have to be, and again, that's not an it's not an easy job for the players to be in to have to convert that, because it's hard to convert, and but we've been successful at it. And it's not easy for me to, you know, at the end of the day, I got to take responsibility for that, and I know that I'm going to be the one that's scrutinized over that, and that's okay. You know, I'm doing what I think's best for the team with conviction. We can move on to the, you know, that's the fourth down and four.
Yep.
Then move on to the pass play on third and three. You know, if you look at the play prior to that, you can see that the Falcons are bringing all-out blitz in the middle. And Saquon got 3 yards on the play before that, but it was a messy 3 yards. Landon kind of had to hook the guy to stop the guy from coming through the hole. Could have been called a hold, but wasn't. You know, so it was messy in there. And so we knew it would be cleaner on the outside. There is obviously a risk to throwing it. You know, in those scenarios, you run a play like that, and if it's there, you take it. If it's not, Jalen takes a short sack. It was there. And, you know, we just didn't convert. And so obviously you look at that and you try to answer those questions as well in your head. But the reason, we're not just blindly saying, hey, throw it there. There's a reason why. And that'd be the reason why. As far as the fourth and three, I've really thought a lot about that. Up to that point, our defense, you know, was really stingy in the red zone. Had given up 15 points up to that point. You know, and I know we were bleeding yards in the run game, but it wasn't going to be a run game scenario. So I wanted to go up 6 points right there. And as I look back, yesterday I put myself through all these questions that you have, all these questions that the fans have. Trust me, I'm going through it. And putting myself through the, dragging myself through the mud and making sure I'm getting better from the scenario. So yesterday I went and looked at every situation in 4 minute football that, that the team, for the past 5 years, that, the team was up, 1 to 5 points, in the 34 yard line and in. And any, I only saw two people that went for it there on fourth and two and fourth. Now there was fourth and ones that people went for it, but there was 15 total. That people went for it there. 13 of those were fourth and ones. There was a fourth and two and a fourth and three. And you guys can look those up. I'm not going to get into like what happened, but both those teams failed and both those teams lost in that scenario. So, again, that was aftermath, you know, because obviously I think about all these things and go through it as well.
Nick, it was reported that Jalen spoke to the team after the game Monday night. Can you tell us about Jalen stepping up and addressing the team post game?
Yeah, Jalen's an awesome leader. You know, I'm sitting there looking through what I'm going to say after the game, and you know, he spoke from his heart, and I thought his message was right on, dead on. Obviously, we'll always keep in-house things in-house, but you know, at the end of the day, Jalen talked about the details, the little things that we did that all of us coaching, playing, that ended up losing us that game. And not to let, you know, it's one game that we got to move on from, learn from, move on, and just still have that same drive. Because the only way we get up, we got to get up, right? And we have that drive to go do the exact same process that we went through last week, because our process was good. To have the exact same process we went through last week and be ready to play a really good football team this upcoming week. And I just thought he was spot on with what he said. His passion was awesome. And I was so, you know, when a player is saying everything that you would say, there's no reason for me to talk afterwards. So we took a knee after that and prayed, because we still had a lot to be thankful for. But he, that was perfect. And like I said, when your leaders are preaching the same message that, you know, that I am, you know, and that I believe in, and that, and we're all on the same page, that's huge. Because, you know, quite frankly, I talk a lot, right? I have a lot of media. I have a lot of the players here. I got a lot of the time up in front of the team that the players here. And so I loved it. And I know that helped, you know, kick us in the butt a little bit to just kind of snap into, hey, the reality of it, you know, it's one game and let's move on and get better from this stuff.
So it sounds like Jalen's nailing the leadership. How well is Jalen reading through his progressions?
I thought Jalen played a really, really, really good game. You know, hate that he had to, that we got that pick, the last play. Other factors go into it. It's not just Jalen accountable for that, right? Again, they had some pressure on that play. Smitty got pushed off that route a little bit, but the interception's always going to go to him. But Jalen played an outstanding game. He made so many plays, right? He went to the right place with the football. Made some unreal plays with his legs. That play that he cut back, that 3rd and 11 going in to score, that he cut back on and picked up the first down, the quickness that he showed on that. I just thought he played really good. When Jalen Hurts plays like that, we always got a chance to win, and that's why we've won a lot of games here. Right now we're 1-1. I don't even want to talk about, you know, we've learned from our stuff from last year. So I think sometimes you hear people be like, well, they're 2-9 in their last 11 games. No, we're 1-1. This is a completely different team, a completely different deal. And we're going to get better from this. And Jalen was really, really good on Monday night.
Nick, are you concerned about the pass rush?
You know, we didn't get the pressure that we needed in must-pass scenarios. That there's no doubt about that. But it just doesn't display into the pass rush. We didn't cover good enough in those areas as well. And then as far as the rest, like I'm thinking of two, and you asked me that, I think of 2 minutes. The 2 minute drive. I don't think about, you know, you have to earn the right to pass rush. And what do I mean by that? You have to play first and second down, or, you know, first down to get them in second and pass, or third down and pass. You have to play those good. And quite frankly, we didn't play the run good enough. And that, you know, we got to help them out as coaches, but we also got to make sure that we, you know, at the end of the day, football is, did I tackle well enough? Did I get off blocks well enough? Right. It doesn't matter. You have to do those things in order to succeed. And so you have to earn the right to pass rush. And we didn't do a good enough job on that. We held the score down. But again, we didn't like it's, you know, in the scenario of the 2 minute, we got to do better. Yes. But on first and second down, we got to do a better job in the run game and to get into those scenarios. I know we have the right guys. I know I've seen these guys do. I've seen Josh Sweat be a menace to the quarterback, and Brandon Graham and Jalen Carter. You know, I've seen Bryce Huff do it. I've seen these guys do it. And now it's earning the right to pass rush. And when we have the opportunity to go out and do it, and you know, sacks, you know, are weird. Sometimes sacks come in bunches, right? Sometimes you're quiet, boom. And you hit a 5-game one. So, yeah, no need to hit the panic button, but we know we need to do better in that area, and we will.
Nick, Jalen Carter, who I thought would be your best defensive player this year, did not start on Monday night. He did not play in the first series. What happened?
Yeah, we're going to keep in-house business in-house. You know, I'll just say that. But I believe in Jalen. You know, he wasn't in there for that first drive, but I believe in him. He's got a ton of potential. And he's a great kid that's had some really good moments here and played some really good games, who can be one of our best defensive players. And he's working like crazy to do that. And like I said, I'm excited for him and the future of Jalen Carter, but I'm going to keep the in-house business in-house.
Nick, you said we didn't play the run well enough when you're talking about your defense. How do you fix the run defense?
Yeah, again, it goes down to, John, what I said there is, like, first and foremost, you gotta strike blocks, right? You gotta play on their side of the line of scrimmage. You gotta when the offensive line gets up to the second level, you gotta strike those blocks, right? Sometimes it's with your hands, and sometimes it's always with your hands. Sometimes it's a shot with your pads. Sometimes it's up high. Sometimes it's a cut block. But it starts with getting off blocks, and that's every level of football, right? And then it's tackling, right? Every level of football, it starts with the physicality of how we strike blocks and how we make tackles. Now, you know, obviously as coaches, we got to put them in positions to succeed, because the offensive coordinator is doing his job to try to put their guys in positions to succeed. But, you know, sometimes it don't matter really what you call. You got to be able to put your hands on guys. Move them back. It's a physical game. It's a, and And so we'll do what we need to do as coaches to put them in positions, and we got to go out and do the basic fundamentals. I think my message always to these guys is you don't have to do you don't have to do these extraordinary things. You just have to do the ordinary things extremely, extremely precise and with great detail. Because that's what ultimately wins football games, right? Is doing those ordinary things well.
Nick, three times in the game, an illegal man downfield, and sometimes it really hurts you. How can the offensive lineman, when it's an RPO, know whether it's a run or a pass? Like, how do you solve that if the lineman can't technically know behind them if it's actually a run or a pass?
Yeah, on two of them we did. We had a little bit of a mental error there, and we got to coach that better. There's no doubt. On another one, it's just a timing of one. When you're an RPO team, and you run these plays, you're gonna have some of these threes way too many, because there's just sometimes, like if you look at Cam's illegal man downfield, he did exactly what we asked him to do. You ask him to engage in a block a little bit longer before you move on to the second level. Well, what happened with Cam? He engaged in the block a little, he was engaging in a block. The guy kind of pushed him off and propelled him into the linebacker, and that's what the referee saw. Like, and so sometimes, that stuff happens when you do these things. It's the price you pay of doing this business. But the other one, we had a miscommunication on one. I won't get into exactly what happened or why, how it happened, but just a miscommunication, and another one, we had a mental error. But we had this, I believe in 21 or 22, where we were getting called for these two, and we've really adjusted how we've coached them. And we feel good with that. We'll remind the guys today. We're making a little tweak. Again, not going to get into the detail. We're making a little tweak of one of them that should help as well, because we know that they're emphasizing that right now. We got to play by the rules that they have and by the rules that they emphasize in certain spots.
Nick, final thing here. Are you preparing this game now, just in a couple of days? Are you preparing for Sunday's game against the Saints with the mindset that A.J. Brown will not play in it?
Yeah, we'll see. Obviously it's too early to tell right now. Obviously not going to, we got to be prepared if he's playing, and we got to be prepared if he's not playing. So you have to go through, a couple different game planning modes, right? So it makes for some long nights, but, obviously you're hoping he plays. We'll see. But it's just too early to tell right now, and we'll be ready to answer your question. We'll be ready if he plays, and we'll be ready if he doesn't play. That's what our process has been.
Nick, good luck on Sunday, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Nick.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
You got it. Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. So very long, and I would say thought. See, here's the thing. A lot of people get frustrated with Sirianni on a lot of fronts, and I understand it, right? But he does give, I would call it, very thoughtful answers. I mean, the one the other day in the press conference wasn't obviously when he was snapping. Listen, guys are going to get mad. The game just happens.
I understand that, though. Well,
no, I agree.
He's human.
Yeah, he's human, right. I mean, I wouldn't want to be asked 2 minutes after a show, what about this, and this, and especially if I lost the show. Like,
exactly.
if we suffered an L in the show, I'd be in a bad mood. So mm-hmm. I do understand the testiness post-game, and, you try not to have it happen too often. James, his answer on the three decisions, which is probably close to a five-minute answer, it's thoughtful. It goes through a lot of... So does it convince you or not convince you on the rights or the wrongs of those decisions?
So I thought it was fascinating. And to your point, I thought he gave us a lot more detail about it than I was expecting.
Yep.
Look, I was all right with those decisions. I'm not as angry about them as other people. So, yeah, for me, I thought the explanation made a lot of sense. I did think it was really interesting to the point we were talking before about all the factors that go into those decisions, about him talking about how he's thinking about it all week. Like, he's thinking about the team, the matchup, all that stuff is implied. So I thought that was fascinating, that it's not just about fourth and three in the moment. It's about fourth and three. I've already thought about this. I've thought about this team and this situation, this type of game. I think that's fascinating to think about.
So, Ray, you didn't like those decisions more than me. Does it convince you in any way, or are you still just like, totally, that was the wrong calls?
Nick?
The decisions.
No, I still think they were terrible decisions. But I think, in this case, I will say, it's a twofold thing. I think those are calls that Kellen Moore made. But at that point, if he's going to have any involvement in the offense, he should at least say this is four down territory.
You're saying at the end of this game?
Yes, at the end of the game. But I still, I mean, I think the guy, the one, Nick can think about those calls all he wants. Kellen Moore's calling the game plan.
Well, here's the, I will
the
say
decision
this,
to go, though. I mean, I still think that's Nick's
that
call.
That has to be Nick's call.
Absolutely.
And that's
what
I'm saying. Nick should have told him it's four down territory.
Well, it depends how far it is. I understand you disagree with me.
I'm offering my opinion.
Yeah, but you're saying if it's fourth and, like, yeah. At first and 10, you might not say that, because if it turns into fourth and 9, it's not fourth down territory.
Yeah.
So it's four down territory for you at fourth and 3
you
or
said
2
that
or
you
1.
Said if he's thinking about this all week and for months and all the time, he's in it. If we're in this situation, it's four down territory.
I will say this one thing that I think has been kind of lost in the shuffle of the loss. The game wasn't over. I think there's this sense that, like, the Eagles, Bill Bucknered it. And, which, by the way, would have only at that point, ironically, it would have been a tie game in extra innings if Buckner had gotten that, because Schiraldi with the wild pitches and Stanley and all that.
And then there would be another game the next day.
No, there's more.
Right.
You're right. There's more focus on that than what the defense did.
He said something to me that resonated, and it's why I was fine the whole time with the pass. The other team was stacking the box. I mean, John, you know, as a fullback, you can try to get to first down, but if they got like 9 or 10 guys up there, there's a legitimate chance you're not going to get it. What Sirianni was saying is, I go up 6. I mean, whether Pat, you know, you want to talk third down or fourth down, I do third down, I'm passing to try to avoid a stack box. End the game. Running back drops the ball. Fourth down, I'm kicking the field goal.
It makes total sense. What he says makes total sense. You take the path of least resistance.
Because they were stacking the box.
An offensive coordinator mindset. It just makes total sense.
I mean, again,
it's easy.
It's like catch it
99 out of 100 times. Like, he should have caught the ball. Bang. We're in great shape.
And I used this example yesterday. I'll say it again. When the Eagles had fourth and goal from the 1 in the Super Bowl with the Philly special, obviously New England was stacking the box. They weren't defending Nick Foles out on the far right side. I mean, in theory, before the play. And that's part of why the Eagles, Doug Peterson and Nick Foles' idea, Doug Peterson had, you know, come up with the idea through one of the assistants. Like, this wasn't a
situational time thing at that point.
No, but
that's where
but,
I keep going. No, I keep you're right. going you're back right. to by doing what they did with that pass, they gave, in
I
my opinion,
right.
they gave Atlanta too much time.
But Rhea, if Foles drops the Philly special, you're complaining that the Eagles got cute, right?
No, because what they had done there. I love that Brady dropped it. I thought they got cute.
No, I get
Brady,
it. But you would have said we got LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi. Why not just run a running back for 1 yard?
The whole town would have said that.
It's exactly what Nick Sirianni said. If it works, it works, and they all get the praise. And if it doesn't, then it's his fault.
I mean, I'll take Saquon Barkley just needing to catch an open pass.
Which he does 9 times out of 10.
Smart call.
He actually doesn't do it 9 times out of 10.
A smart offense would do. Like, I like cramming my head and slamming the call it and run it runs, but sometimes you just got to do what's there.
Look,
and take candy from a baby like it was.
Look, again,
just catch the ball.
I'm in a bad mood about the Eagles, but not about that part specifically, but I know a lot of people are. All right. 215-592-9494.
If you're in a bad mood over that, you got to get over it, because that's offense. That's
never
offense.
Will get over
you
it.
You need to
never.
Take what's there.
Never. They had the game in their hands.
All right.
If he catches the ball, it's over. They win.
He dropped the ball.